All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senators Jason York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside Jason York. Yorkie, I've managed to do it. On the final day of the regular season, I have tracked down your boy, Rourke Chartier, is going to join us.
It feels like Christmas morning. And we just had Rourke on off camera before. I didn't mention to him, but I wonder if he knows how much we've been chatting about him throughout the year on the pod. I'm a big fan of the underdog, Wally, because as you know, I was a seventh round draft pick. So I love the guys that grind it out and have to battle for everything they get. So I'm excited for this. It's going to be one of my favorite episodes.
All right, perfect. Here, before we start, I just want to help you out because I don't want you to say his name wrong.
You know what the problem was? I thought Rourke, for some reason, was French, so I kept trying to get a little accent in there. So I was like, Chartres, Jeff. I got it down now, though.
Are you sure? Because if not, I put up, we have, here we go. It is, do you want to say it now before he comes on?
Well, let me give it a prat. Rourke Chartres. I still can't get it. I get what you want. He's going
to. You may not know. You may not.
I've said his name enough on the show. We should have it right. But I don't care.
I've never had a problem with it. But anyway, yeah, all right, before we bring him on, let's take care of some quick business, and then we'll get to work. I'm sure he's got a big playoff game coming up tomorrow. All right, here we go. This show proudly presented by Betway. Bet your way with Betway. Must be 19+. Please play responsibly. Also, registration now open in the NHL bracket, nhl.com/bracket for the Betway playoff brackets. You can go check that out. And by BEI, Bonnechere Excavating, Inc., equipment rentals, aggregate, topsoil sales, custom crushing and screening, haulage and floating, custom concrete formwork. They are heavy civil general contractors. They do residential and commercial, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. BEI, 613-432-1120.
And also our good friend Douglas Mattress. If you want a great night's sleep, well, you got to get a Douglas Mattress. It's named Canada's best mattress on Canadian living, unrivaled comfort. feel, and it's got that motion isolation, sleeps cool, and relieves those nasty pressure points. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians and over 10,000 five-star reviews. You can order it very easily online. Usually takes about 1 to 4 days to get your Douglas delivered right to your doorstep. Don't forget about every mattress comes with that free comfort sleep bundle, pillow, sheets, and a mattress protector. Don't wait. Start your 365-night sleep trial by visiting douglas.ca/CIH. Wally, I am on my game today.
Well, I know you probably didn't sleep a whole lot last night, knowing that we further ado.
So fired up.
Here he is. Rorschach J.
Listen, Rorschach, be honest. Be honest. Have you ever listened to our show before?
I gotta be honest. People have told me, but I don't have Twitter or anything, so I don't see too much. I think you guys tagged me at something on Instagram. I saw, and I kind of watched a few clips, but I'm not super familiar. Like I said, I'm off most social media, so it's I don't see a ton.
We've been pumping your tires all year, man. I love how you've grinded it out through your career. And you know, you're 96 born, so I know how much it takes, the resilience and sticking with it. And I just think you're a great story, man, and love the way you play.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So, by the way, happy birthday to Rourke last week, who celebrated number 28 on the, if I'm not mistaken. So, Rourke, there's a lot to get to about your journey. I guess summing it up would be really odd, but can you sum up, I guess, the first little while of how your career went from going from World Juniors into San Jose? Things seemingly are going well, and then the injuries start to pile up.
Yeah, I think just frustrating. You know, had a fairly decent junior career. We had lots of team success in Kelowna. And, I think I was actually pretty healthy my whole first year pro right till the playoffs, and that's kind of when things kind of started up for me. So, yeah, it's just been pretty frustrating with the amount of injuries and, I guess, adversity to deal with. But there's been lots of good moments, too.
Go ahead, York.
Go ahead.
I just want to say it starts with your first NHL goal. Actually, it's going to take me to our Wendy's Did You Know? Because I looked this up the other day, and I want to ask you about ended up with scoring in Ottawa at the same time. So, is Wendy's Did You Know? It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. There we go. For those of you maybe want a little afternoon snack, the Wendy's pull apart coupons are available to you with a small coffee. You can win those weekly, by the way. So go to Wendy's dailyfaceoff.com with the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool and get started today. Okay, Rourke, here we go. You scored your first NHL goal on October 28, 2018 as a member of the Sharks. It was against John Gibson and the Ducks. You would score your next NHL goal November 11, 2023 against the Calgary Flames, if I'm not mistaken. The goals were 1,840 days apart or 5 years apart. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, no, that sounds right for sure.
So that picture of you with Dominic Kubalik, who assisted on that goal, which we have the video of, can you take me through what that means to you?
Yeah, I think probably one of the rare cases where I think my second goal means you know, a lot more to me than my first NHL goal, and probably what I'll remember more. But the goal itself, I mean, Drake made a great play stealing from the guy, and I mean, Kubi put on a platter for me back door, so it was a bit of a tap in.
Rourke, you got some sneaky skill, and I always tell people this all the time. Everybody that's in the NHL is usually the best player that was on their team in junior or college. But guys that can find a way to play in the league, they figure out what they need to do. It seems Jacques kind of – like I was watching how Jacques was playing you this year, and it seemed he was liking the way you were playing, and you were starting to get some more ice time under Jacques. But you just seem to be a guy that you figured out to play in this league – you got to be on the right side of the puck. You're good on draws. And just, was it tough adapting? Because I look at your stats in junior, you put up some good numbers, and then you get to the NHL. You kind of got to change how you play, don't you?
Yeah, I think, especially for me, missing the time I did, those are kind of those crucial years. myself starting this year at 27 years of age. I knew I wasn't coming in and, you know, getting all that opportunity to be a power play guy and this and that. And, you know, maybe had I stayed healthy at the start of my career, you know, when you're coming up as a prospect, you get a little bit more, you know, luck or a little bit of this and that, where you kind of, you can build yourself into one of those roles. But no, I knew that. And I knew, you know, if you want to play the fourth, maybe third line, you got to be dependable. And I think, you know, those are things I always had in my game, you know, the defense and stuff like that and penalty killing. But yeah, I'm not, like I said, I didn't think I was going to come in and I wasn't going to make that team, you know, scoring goals or this or that. So I just tried to really focus on, you know, being dependable and what I could do with, like I said, I know it's going to be limited ice time. There's guys making a lot more money than me who are counting on to score the big goals. But I mean, you need guys to fill a ton of roles. And yeah, I think at my age, I kind of realized that. And like I said, just tried to play that role to the best of my ability because I knew that was my best chance of getting in.
Were you at that practice when Jacques did the line change practicing?
I'm not sure. I was hurt when he first took over. So I actually didn't play for Jacques till whatever, it was January in there. And I think he took over. I got hurt in Dallas there and he took over after. There was one more game and then he took over. So I missed quite a few of the practices at the start, but I don't recall.
I think he got the memo that Jacques loves short shifts because I was watching your shift length. And if you wanna put yourself in Jacques' good books, those 30-second shifts you're taking, you're putting yourself in. I can tell you from experience, he loves the guys that keep it around 35 and under.
Yeah, no, I think that's important too. Obviously, I'm not trying to stay out there and get extended and get caught in a position where you're tired. And especially, I think being third, fourth line, you got to play with a ton of energy and bring that side of it. And I don't think you can do that, you know, if you're out there for too long. So I think short shifts were definitely important.
I just want to go back to early on. I read somewhere, and I apologize, I think it's Ian Mendez in The Athletic, talked about you weren't sure of if you were going to continue your hockey career or not. Like, how close did it get for you to go, maybe it's time to shut this down?
I don't think it got that close to that. Like, probably from someone on the outside looking in, I think people probably thought I was just done, to be honest. But yeah. I think in my head, I just needed time. And I think it was two full years, obviously, with COVID by the time I played a game there. So I don't think that was ever the plan for me. But I kind of just took it with a day-by-day approach. But in my head, I don't think I ever really thought, you know, this was done. So, and, you know, had those thoughts been going, I think once those creep in, it's
time.
It's almost impossible to come back. But I, like I said, from probably just about everybody's point of view, on the outside looking in, probably thought I was done. But yeah, not really in my head. And like I said, that's just what kept me going.
So I just want to follow that up with one thing. How emotional was taking to the ice for your next NHL game?
Yeah, it was a few years. So I came back and what was it in Toronto there? It didn't go real well for me just in this COVID shortened stint with Toronto, but it was only 20 games or whatever. And then signed a PTO in Belleville and played a year there and I had some bad luck. I think I broke my hand a few times and obviously came last year, got six games. And yeah, no, I was over like the moon to get back in the NHL. And so it just meant a lot just to get back out there because, like I said, it was 2 years without playing a game of hockey, let alone playing in the NHL again. So I was obviously super excited with my six games last year. When I got the call to come back up, I was pretty pumped. And I guess I broke my wrist last year in that sixth game. So that was kind of bad luck then. But that was a pretty big moment for sure when I got called up and started last year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the kind of luck you're having. You had all those concussions. You have to sit out the entire 2018-19 season. Like, that must be a strange feeling, not playing hockey for the entire season, then coming back and trying to get your timing back, get your feel back and all those things. And then not long after, it's the COVID comes. Like, how many, you just had such a string of bad luck. It's just, it's a testament you're able to stick with it. And, you know, here you are playing the NHL. I know you're down in Belleville right now, but it's been a pretty successful season for you this year.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, lots of a different adversity along the way, not just obviously with the concussion troubles I had, but I mean, I've broken my hand multiple times in the last few years and had an MCL and this and that. But, you know, kind of at this point when I get hurt, I feel like I have all the confidence, you know, that I am going to be able to come back because I've done it a few times, unfortunately. But yeah, definitely some bad luck along the way.
How'd you break your hand a couple times? How'd you do it? Just hitting with a puck, slash?
Mostly, yeah, shots or shot block or friendly fire from the point. But yeah, no, just like I said, bad luck.
Oh man, crazy!
The time you spent in San Jose, I guess, how instrumental were Joe Thornton and Brent Burns on your beard?
Yeah, I don't know if I grow it as good back then. And I actually had a pretty good one, I think, when I scored my first goal. There's some pictures. But, yeah, no, we had a lot of characters on that team and just guys who played for, you know, for so long and guys that are still playing and, you know, playing so well. And they've been around and they'd won. And, yeah, it was pretty special when I first came in. The amount of guys I can say I got to play with and, you know, just be around and be on the same team as. But, yeah, no, it was a special group over there.
So you had the stash going for a while, just the stash look. Now you got the full beard. So is this going to be the permanent look, or are you going to change it up again?
I don't know. Sometimes I just get lazy. Unfortunately, it grows pretty quick. But I mix in the mustache every once in a while. I usually partake in Movember, get a pretty good one going. But then usually just one day I'll decide to get rid of it. But I think maybe we're in a bit of a tight playoff race. We got 3 games here in Belleville to get in and then hopefully go on a bit of a run. So probably keep it around for the next bit for sure.
So you had me fooled because of the last name Charche, and when you had just the mustache, I'm like, he's got to have some French in him because he's kind of like the French look, right? The stash, clean shaven everywhere else. So absolutely no French in your bloodline, though.
No, yeah, I know. It's always disappointing. I think when I got called up at the start of last year, the French media right away came flying over in the room. And they thought they'd have a new voice to talk to, but I had to tell them. I never even took a French lesson in elementary school. So it's a tough name for them, I think. Like I said, they get a little excited. But, yeah, unfortunately, not a word.
This leads me into a next question. Do you have a nickname on the team?
Yeah, like just Charts.
Okay. So we refer to you a lot as Rourke Dog, and I'm curious if you own a dog.
I do not. My parents own a dog, so we can say I own one through them, but no, not one personally.
Okay. It'd be great if you had, because it seems fitting to call you Rourke Dog, by the way.
Yeah.
So, by the way, you just brought up Belleville, which you have a game tomorrow night against Syracuse, and then you play 2 key ones. Well, I guess they're all key at the moment against Laval. You currently sit in the last playoff spot. I believe you're 2 points up, if I'm not. Yeah. I guess what's the mood around this team right now in Belleville as you guys are trying to lock this down?
Yeah, I think guys are pretty positive. We obviously, with the Ottawa ending tonight, we got a few more guys, I think, back. And, yeah, I've just been down here the last few games. So I think we won 4 in a row. And obviously we got drummed a little bit our last game out. But, we set ourselves in a pretty good spot end of the last week. And it's kind of in our hands. Hopefully we can get that big win Wednesday. I think the math is we just got to get 1 of the 2 against Laval. And we're in. I'm not 100% on the math with all the tiebreakers. But, no, I think it's an exciting time of year, and we kind of, I mean, you'd like to be in a couple of weeks ago, but if you're going to get in, you gotta win your way in. I think if we don't, we probably don't deserve to be there. So I think we'll get her done for sure. But like I said, it'll be an exciting week. But I think the guys are just excited and, like I said, ready to take care of business.
Well, I was going to say, it's always more exciting when it comes down to the final couple of games. Not necessarily for the players, but the fans love it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've been in this few years where it's right down to the last game. And like I said, I prefer the years when you're in about a couple weeks before, but I might as well make things a little interesting.
So I just got a question in the chat, and this isn't from Alfie's Mullen. He just says, can you ask what the main difference between DJ and Jacques were during your time?
Yeah, I don't know if so much for a main difference. Like for me specifically, I think DJ was honestly a big reason I re-signed and reason I started the year there. So he's been really good to me my whole career. I actually had him back at under 18s. When I was after my first year junior there. So he was obviously instrumental for me. I think he was a fan of me. And then obviously when Jacques came in and I was unfortunately hurt for the start, I'm sure he knew not much about me. And I think the assistants that are still there, you know, were good to me. And then once I got to play for Jacques, I really enjoyed playing for him too. And honestly, for a guy like me in my position, not much changes coach from coach, right? Like it's your role really doesn't change. You know, I know when I'm going to get out there in PK and what I have to do. So I don't think, and I think throughout my career, I've felt too much of a change coach to coach. But yeah, that's probably not the greatest answer. Sorry, but
Hey, it's so true though, your style, but we also thought when Jacques took over that you would be a perfect Jacques player because of you're just no nonsense, get the job done and just take care of business basically. So that's a Jacques player through and through.
Yeah, no. And I think from my conversation with Jacques, he trusted me and utilized me. And so I think, like I said, I like playing for him a lot. And like I said, it was he was good to me.
Did he try to speak French to you?
No, he got the report. I wasn't French.
Thomas Chabot and you played World Juniors together. Did he reach out to you early on when you signed with Ottawa?
Not that I remember. But I, yeah, you run into my camp. It's always funny. I mean, you don't get too close with guys, World Juniors. You kind of get the, you know, a preview of everyone, and you see them, and it'd been, I don't even know what, seven, eight years since I'd seen them last. So, no, but like I said, it's always cool though when you run into guys that you played with at these tournaments or that where you have a bit of a relationship before, and then you get to see them more, and then see how they've changed, you know, as a person and as a player.
Hey, Rourke, what is the CHL Sportsman of the Year? I saw that in your bio. You won that when you're with Kelowna.
Yeah, I don't know the exact criteria. Probably kind of like the sportsman, most sportsman-like. I don't know what all
it's
goes
the good
into
guy
it.
Award.
The good guy. The good so you want
good guy. The honest guy. I'm not sure what the criteria was.
I just saw that. I'm like, CHL Sportsman of the Year, 2014, 2000. You put up a lot of goals that year. And
well, he had 18 pims and 48 goals, so 82 points. It's there like the go. Lady Bing.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not, like I said, I'm not 100% sure what the criteria was, but cool to get selected for something.
So the touchy subject is you're, I believe, UFA at the end of the year. Have there been any discussions? Are you hoping that you can re-sign with Ottawa?
Not much discussions. Yeah, like I said, I'm sure they're waiting to see how the whole year plays out for everybody. And I've been in this position the last few years. I'm not, like I said, I don't take anything personal or this or that. So, yeah, obviously I'm sure there's going to be some big changes here and they'll regroup and I'll regroup after the season and see what happens. But I don't really have a plan for next year. I'm more worried about Syracuse, I guess, on Wednesday. Yeah. I haven't really thought too much about a plan yet. So I'll just, like I said, see how this year finishes out and see what they say and kind of go from there.
Great attitude. Control what you can control. And all you can do is, hey, got a game tomorrow. Let's get ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what does Rourke Dog like to do in the summer?
I've been golfing a lot the last couple of years. Like with the injuries and stuff, there wasn't always so much opportunity to get out golfing and whatnot, but get out golfing a lot. There's a couple of nice lakes in Saskatchewan. I get up to my cousin's got a cabin at one place, so we're up there most weekends, and it's a nice place in the summer. I don't know if I can spend my winters there, but yeah, a lot of golf and spend time with friends and family.
Okay, so what would be your hockey foursome if you had to pick three other players to play with?
Are we going all players all time?
No, like I'd prefer, like you can say Gretzky, but he seems like he's always on everybody's list. You can pick any three guys, anyone he wants.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know.
Or are you taking Joe Thornton?
Obviously, I would take Brent Burns.
Would you? I don't think he golfs though.
He'd be pure entertainment value.
Like Rourke, what's the deal with Brent Burns and that Winnebago he gets in and drives around all summer and goes to different locations? Like, did you hear that story?
I've seen it.
No, he takes a huge thing he lives in the summer and just goes to a area and finds a group of pros to skate with and lives out of it's an RV. He RVs.
Yeah, he had a few different things going on. Like, he might be the most interesting man I've ever played with for sure. And I think if I'm not wrong, I think his 1,000 games was when I was there with him. And then, like, I feel like we got him like a megalodon tooth and like a bunch of different things. Like, but he had that big ranch. I'm sure he still has it in Texas. He just got, and I used to talk to him about, he had a bunch of different animals, like exotics and stuff, and it's all fenced in. And
no way.
He had some cool stuff going on, but yeah, probably the most interesting human being I played with. But he was great. He was good to me. So I said,
Rourke, what was in that backpack he'd always wheel into the rink? He had his backpack with just packed with stuff. Did you ever? Anybody know what's in that thing?
I still don't know to this day. Honestly, he had that big camo pack and. Yeah, he was a pro's pro. Like, he's always up in the gym. He's always working on something. He was tracking all his, you know, he's wearing different heart rates than guys and stuff. So he was always on top of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few of those things. But yeah, it's no surprise he's still playing and, you know, still such a big contributing factor of their team over there in Carolina, the way he would take care of himself.
It's crazy. Totally. 39 now, Wally?
Something like that. I can't remember. I just remember, I didn't mean for this to be a Brent Burns discussion, but just since you guys brought up the 1,000th game, the ceremony was against Ottawa. I totally forgot. He was given a silver stick, a bottle of wine, a fossilized megalodon tooth, and two antelope for his ranch. Normally it's like a boat, a motorcycle. So were you part of those conversations? Like, hey, we need to get him some kind of animal for the ranch.
No, I'm pretty sure I was a 22-year-old rookie who spoke when spoken to, so I didn't get too many words in, but the boys did a good job and took care of him, obviously. But yeah, like I said, it's a little different than the Rolex or whatnot. But
that's what Carl just got, I think. Yeah.
But no, it was good, and like I said, it just goes to show how many of his different interests off the ice. But like I said, a real cool guy.
Yeah.
He is, certainly. Rourke, I don't want to keep you. I know you've got stuff to do and prepare for tomorrow's game. We wish you good luck this week, or I guess this week. And we appreciate you just stopping by. You've been a big part of conversation here a lot of times when Yorkie gets going. So thank you for taking the time.
It's been thanks, Rourke. It's you're like I said, you've been a great story. It's been a tough year for the Sens, but you know, your story I think is a very positive one, and it's testament to your career.
All right, well, thanks, guys. Like I said, I appreciate all the tire pumping throughout the year. I know, like I said, I didn't see it firsthand. Maybe I'll have to get Twitter or something, maybe a burner account, but like I said, from what other people have told me. So no, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Right on. Good luck in the playoffs.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Paul. There goes Rourke Charcher. I'm glad. Now, Yorkie, I feel like the year is complete now that you've had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, it's been good. Great beard game, by the way. He's got he's got that Ucorn Cornelius thing going on, you know, from I didn't want to throw that one at him because he'd have no idea who Ucorn Cornelius is. The old miner from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon. You know, maybe I'll get a side by side with Yukon and Rourke.
Can you ever reference anything within like the last 10 years?
How many times do I have to tell you? Cable television stinks now. It's good for watching sports, and that's pretty well it. Otherwise, you're streaming whatever, Netflix, Crave.
Okay.
You're watching, you know.
By the way, I just started a new one, and people in the chat, please help me out here. The Americans on Crave, 6 seasons. It's got Kerry Russell, and I can't remember the
listen,
pretty good from what I've seen.
I got something for you to watch right now. You'd probably like this because it's kind of dark. And the main character kind of reminds me a little bit of you. It's called Ripley. Very, very creepy. You should watch that. You'll enjoy it.
So I remind you of a creepy person.
A little bit. A little creepy. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Just a touch. Just a touch.
Okay. Let's get on to the Sens chatter, shall we? Since we have the final game 82 of the season. Before we do that, by the way, the only reason I have so much more energy, other than the fact I like having guests on, is AG1. I'm telling you right now, Yorkie, if you haven't done it, well, I know you drink it in the morning. But I notice huge the amount of energy I have in the afternoon with AG1.
You do, eh? Yeah, I've been taking it. Feeling a little chipper. You know, I'm a granddad now, Papa Yorkie. Oh. I need the extra energy.
There are over... Yeah, like 90, I think, different vitamins and supplements and stuff in there. So, yeah, you can use it. You need it.
I had a long walk with the baby today. Took a little walk over to
the
coffee shop. Got to get the rays on the baby. So, no, it's been
nice.
It's very cool. It's very cool when your kid has a kid. It's a very, I don't know how to describe it. It's like surreal. You don't believe it.
Yeah. World comes out, or life comes at you quick sometimes. Mm-hmm. By the way, just back to, as we move on, AG1, gone are the numerous daily vitamin pills. Just need one scoop of AG1. Tested for 915 contaminants, and it's NFS certified for sports. So go to, that's drinkag1.com/CIH. Proud to have them as a partner with our show. Also,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go finish your thought.
I was just going to move on to our DoorDash hot and cold, but I will wait.
No, I just wanted to put a bow before you get to that on Rourke.
Yeah,
because a lot of people, we kind of just skimmed over some of the injuries and what he went through, because it's always tough when you bring up concussions. It's like, I don't think a lot of people understand how many concussions this guy had. like we're talking like at least four major ones where you miss an entire season.
You missed nearly two. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's because those are very, very difficult to come back from, because it's such a tough injury to diagnose, and to, when are you healthy? When are you feeling good? And you have that self-doubt, and then you get nerves and stuff come into play, right? Cause it's your head and you don't want to, but anyhow, it's a very interesting story, missing entire, almost, like you said, almost 2 years, and then you finally get healthy. You've been with a couple teams, and then you, then COVID comes, and your career kind of gets put on, like that affected a lot of people, but especially a person in Rourke's situation. It's like you finally start getting going. Okay, now we're going to take another year and a half to delay the process. So, like, we'll see what happens. It's like he just said, it's everything's up in the air.
It's true pro though. Like for a guy that's battled through all that, true, like the way he plays the game is just an honest, true professional. Anyway,
do you know what it is? So guys, you see this a lot with players that have really good instincts of the game, and you'll see them in junior. They'll put up some numbers, but they're still good defensive players. And I mentioned that CHL Sportsman of the Year award he won, which was to play hockey at a high level and not take a lot of penalties is actually really tough to do. So there's usually guys that are very smart are able to do that. And guys that are very smart are able to adapt and change. I'll give you a great example. Good friend of mine, former Sen, Sean Van Allen. Sean Van Allen was one of the most prolific goal scorers in the American Hockey League. One of the most talented guys. Wasn't the greatest of skaters as far as point A to point B, but he was so smart, got to the NHL, and he figured out, hey, if I want to stay here, I'm going to have to adapt my game. And Vanner had a great career of being a defensive centerman, but because he was so smart, it made him that much better defensively. And I don't want to compare Vanner and Rourke, but I think Rourke is similar, where you're smart enough to understand exactly what you need to do to try and survive. So, no, it's been a nice story, and we'll see what happens to him after this year. But good for him and like we said, we had I think if he did end up playing more than the 40 some games, he probably would have won the Masterton this year or been the award recipient.
The nominee. Yeah, I agree with you. I think what he's been able to do to battle back is huge. I can't imagine, Yorkie. To play in the NHL is your dream, right? And the percentages of making to the NHL are so ridiculously small.
Very
tough. Go 5 years and battle through all that and score that goal, I can't imagine what that feeling is like.
Oh, probably feels pretty good. I'll tell you
I mean, as he said, he goes, you know, it's bigger than scoring my first goal. And I agree. Like,
for sure. Because I
love
it's,
those guys.
It's so tough. When you're drafted, well, even if you're not drafted, but when you're a fifth round draft pick, I call it chances or mulligans. You don't really get any mulligans, versus if you're a first round pick, you're going to get about 5 to 6 plate appearances. And if you strike out a bunch of times, you're going to keep getting opportunities, where guys in these kind of situations, you have to make the most of your chances, so they don't come around all the time. So that's, to me, that's why, like, we have fun with it, the Rourke dog, all that stuff. But truthfully, I like it because it's a good story. And I like when guys have to battle and go through some adversity, because, you know, those are the good stories.
So, there's lots of it. Like, I covered Sidney Crosby coming back from his concussion. Like that for him, like, people thought it might be career ending. I just remember like what he went through and how he dealt with all that. Like, for those guys,
crazy, Crosby's was crazy too. Cause that outdoor game hit, like, it looked like nothing, but when you're not ready, you're not braced for it, that's when it's the worst, right? Cause your body doesn't get into that protective instinct to protect yourself.
So. All right. We need to move on. We got work to do. So, I want to get to, quickly, the Ranger game. I don't know if we spent a lot of time on it, because I don't think the Sen spent a lot of time playing it. So we will do that.
It wasn't terrible.
So, okay, hang on. This show proudly delivered by DoorDash as we get to the hot and cold performer of the day. Get everything you need, even at the last minute. Just download the DoorDash app and get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order, $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app, enter code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value. Zero delivery fees in your first order. When you download the DoorDash app in the App Store, enter code NATION25. Offered valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms apply. So, Yorkie, we're in the month of April. I know the games don't matter. In the sense of a 3-5 record, which isn't horrendously terrible. 491 minutes they've played. Ottawa has led for 1 minute, 60 seconds.
Yeah, no. That's wild to me. And they've had some good comebacks. They're what's that stat? They're perfect in the shootout this year. I saw that one was thrown out there. I had no idea, but they're perfect in the shootouts. There you go. There's something to be positive about.
Well, in fact, they won three games when leading by for 60 seconds is pretty good. But I just didn't think last night, like, and I'm concerned about tonight too, that
what are you concerned about?
The best
case scenario is Montreal wins and Ottawa loses and they leapfrog them to go down and be ahead of them as far as the draft odds. But still, they could still end up ahead of them depending on how the bingo balls or everything sorted out in the draft lottery, right? Like, what's the most, let's say Ottawa finishes six, let's say they finish six worst. What's the most they can move up?
You can move up all the top 11 can move up to number one.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's why it's why it's at 11 teams.
Yeah. It's tough dissecting these games down the stretch and trying to think. I'll tell you, like, the one thing, because I don't really look at plus minus that much. Do you know whose plus minus sticks out in a good way?
I was going to say Vladimir Tarasenko is going to win the plus minus award for the Ottawa
Senators. Jake Sanderson is a plus player.
He's plus nine, if I'm not mistaken. It's
crazy.
Same with Ridly Gregg. I think Ridly Gregg's plus 10.
But Sanderson's played most of the games, and he gets a lot of the hard top matchups. Yeah. He gets a lot of the hard matchups, and you look at, I know we talk about him all the time, but I actually think he's gotten better this year. Watching him, especially when he's carrying the puck, making plays, patience, holding on the pucks, he's gotten better. Which I didn't think he could get to a higher level this year because of everything that's going on. But I actually think he has, just watching his game as a whole. I think it's more well-rounded on the offensive side of things. But so there's been some positives. Batherson's had a nice finish. Brady's got 37 goals, which, by the way, I predicted. I said he'll get between 35 and 40.
I think you said 40.
I said between 35 and 40. So I better get a prize for that.
Well,
way
to go on a limb there.
Well, you guys didn't think you'd do it.
Well, we were all predicting there was going to be 630 goal scorers on the team.
No, that's tough. That's really tough to do in the league.
I'm just being facetious.
Especially when you're on a bad team. But
so you know, I just did the tankathon, by the way. On the second try, we got the first pick.
Come on.
So
there you go. So yeah, like that. I don't know, like I said, these last games, what are you going to do? It's like you can go over them and talk about them, but it's just, it's such a different thing when you know you're out and the pressure of, if we don't win, we're not going to make the playoffs, is gone. It's a lot tougher to evaluate your players because you don't have that pressure that, you know, that Detroit will have tonight, Washington will have tonight. In the next few days, Pittsburgh's still mathematically in it. So that's when you really see what you have.
I will say, Yorkie, it's tough right now for this team to evaluate somewhat up front when you don't have Stützle and Norris in your middle of your lineup and you're playing.
It's a great opportunity. The President's Trophy winners.
You're playing Boston. I understand that point. But they still need a little bit of help when you're facing Boston and the Rangers. You don't want to be getting caved in every night. Yeah. Look at the Florida games. Like, they've been shut out two of the last three games. Is that what it is with Florida and with last night against the Rangers? Like, and Jacques said it last night. He goes, our first two goals we gave them to them.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that, the game wasn't that bad, but we gave up the first two goals, and this team can't come back from that right now.
If you watch the, if you watch the best teams in the NHL, and I'm talking about teams like a Vegas or Boston, Florida, how they play, they manage the puck so much better than the Ottawa Senators do. And that's Ottawa. Just whoever comes in to coach this team next year, right at the top of the list of things that should be addressed from day one, puck management. It's a big thing Jock talked about the whole time he was here. And I do think it's improved because it was atrocious before. But puck management is key for this group of just, you just got to take what's given to you. And I watching that game last night, the first one, the turnover when Zub tried the little stick handle neutral zone and it got turned over. That whole goal, that whole series is just caused from two decisions where you didn't make the easy play and then you turn it over at the blue line. And that's been the Achilles heel of Ottawa for a long time now, and it needs to change.
Sorry, I was just going to bring up the Jacques quote. Like, you've kind of alluded to it when he was asked about his last home game. And I meant to bring this up a couple shows ago, but he's like, I enjoy the opportunity to come back and hopefully help the team understand what it takes to be in the playoffs, how you need to play on a nightly basis, help the players grow and maybe get better. As an organization, I think we have some work to do, but I think we're in the right direction. And that's right. Like, that's what his whole job was, to come in. And I think he's going to finish, if they can win tonight, I think it's 500.
I think so.
Coaching record, like,
that's right around there.
That's not bad, especially with the last few games of not having Tim Stützle in your lineup. Like, that's a big hole.
Yeah. Of your lineup. And so, a lot of, from experience, having played for Jacques for five seasons, he does a ton of teaching during practices. There's a lot of teaching going on. Like, you can, video is one thing, but even after you're watching video for 10 minutes as a team, a lot of guys tune out. They just do. And it's not getting through. You got to be on the ice. You got to be going through it. You got to be doing reps, going over your system, going over your forecheck, going over different scenarios. And then it just becomes second habit. And they haven't had a ton of practice, and they've just had a ton of games since Jacques has taken over. So, but I think he has instilled some things that will carry over into the next coach and staff who are going to be here. So that'll be the next fun thing, Wally. We'll start trying to pick who's going to be the next coach of this team.
Well, okay. So David Kay in the chat just said Buffalo just fired their coach Don Granato today.
Saw that.
Does that cause urgency for Ottawa to decide on their next coach? And here's the one caveat on this. And I know it happens occasionally, but the NHL doesn't like it during playoffs when you make announcements.
No.
And I don't know if that'll keep them from, even if they wanted to right now. And I know there's coaches that still aren't fired, whatever, making that announcement happen before the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Do you want to do it before the playoffs, or do you want to wait and see what shakes down from the playoffs, or what other coaches become available? Like, maybe there's a guy you think, man, we like him, but there's never a chance we're going to get him here because he's coaching there. Because you that's the tough thing about this whole situation. So,
I don't think we get a coach prior to the draft.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think it's sooner than that. I think they want to get that settled. That's just me.
Well, first round, you'll see coaches. If Sheldon Keefe, is fired, that causes a ripple effect throughout the entire National Hockey League because it's arguably the most coveted head coaching job.
Think about this. Do you think Ottawa's really going to care about upsetting the league after what the league did to them with some of the punishments this year? Oh, okay. We're really going to worry about your feelings when basically.
Come on now. Stop.
You don't think so?
No. No way. No chance.
I think so.
So you think Michael Andlauer is going to try again to aggravate
I'm not going to say that, but there's no rule saying you can't hire a coach when you want to hire a coach. That's not
it's just an unwritten rule that I will say, like, maybe the Ottawa head coaching job isn't that big of a needle mover the league does not like you to make big announcements during the playoffs to take any of the shine off of the playoffs. Hey, it's part of the code, if you will. It's an unwritten rule in the National Hockey League.
We'll see. I think they name the coach sooner than just before the draft.
Well, it's come up here in the chat a bit about John Cooper. What if Tampa's out in the first round? Will it matter?
Wow. Yeah, there's a name to throw into the mix.
Well, don't you remember Mendes came on the show and said, hey, John Cooper doesn't have a contract. And so we've all called him.
And a lot of people say too, you'll hear this from people saying that, well, Ottawa's a small market, it's a Canadian city. It's going to be tough to, let's say a John Cooper became available, to get somebody like that to come in. I'm of the mind where I think coaches look around the league and they try to identify groups where there's talent. And what could I do if I got into a situation like that, where you have a base to work with? Like, Ottawa's a lot better off than a lot of other teams around the league right now. When you look at their forward group, yeah, sure, they got to address the goaltending situation. You need a right shot, an older forward. But those are things that I think those things can be done this summer. Maybe not the goaltending, but the other two things I think for sure will be addressed.
So for a team that's currently sitting in a lottery pick, I don't know that they're that further ahead.
Well, if you look at, I think if you looked at most coaches that were looking, let's just say a Berube, for example.
Yeah.
I'm Craig Berube, this is just my opinion, Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators, I got my pick. I think I'm taking the Ottawa Senators. I look at that roster and is there a Brady Tkachuk on Buffalo? No. Is there I think Jake Sanderson is as good as a young defenseman in the league right now. There's pieces that would be very attractive for a coach to say, man, if I could get my hands on a Tim Stützle, what I could do, because that kid's got some tools. There's just at the major positions for the Ottawa Senators, there's some really good tools. And coaches, especially coaches with egos, feel that they can be difference makers. That's why I think the Ottawa team is very attractive. Because don't forget, NHL coaches have huge egos. They do. And they love a challenge. And it's, I can get this team to the next level. Get me in there. And we'll just, like, look at the Boston Bruins, for example. On paper, is that a really good team? Not really. But look what Jim Montgomery has done for that team. Like, he's a outstanding coach.
Yep.
Like, but who's there?
Look at this. Jeez, Yorkie.
Yeah, there you go. Obviously, goaltending. And I'm not comparing Ottawa to Boston right now. Two teams in totally different areas. But I'm just saying the way coaches think.
I get your point.
Ottawa's got some players that I just think are very attractive for people on the outside. Well, just look at the start of the season. How many people across the NHL looked at the Ottawa Senators and said, they're a playoff team?
Yeah.
There was a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about people inside this area that are biased. I'm talking about a lot of guys in the league. They were saying, this is a playoff team. I like what they have. I like Tkachuk. I like Stutzla. I like their defense. I think that sometimes gets lost.
All right, moving on to we'll see how next season goes. We have plenty of the offseason to chat about this. Our final lock of the day, which I don't give a shit about because I'm not even going to make 500. But it's brought to you by Betway. Bet your way with Betway. Go to betway.ca. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly.
I can't believe. Look at that record. So well. What's wrong with you?
I wanted to try. Roll the Sens to victory.
I don't even try at this, and I'm 31 and 22.
I know, but like, I should have taken the Rangers last night. That would, but I was like, damn it. There, with this team, you just never know. One time they're going to show up and do this. So I stuck my neck out. However,
hey, how good is Shesterkin though? Because I'm not the Rangers play really loose. Like when I talked earlier about the teams like the Vegases and the Boston that play the right way, New York doesn't play the right way. Those guys are riverboat gamblers, but Shesterkin always bails them out. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. It's going to be interesting who they play and what happens.
Well, they're going to get Detroit or Pittsburgh or Washington, right? So I don't know. I don't think they'll have an issue in the first round.
I hope they get the Islanders. No, they clinched. They can't get the Islanders.
Yeah, they're not going to get the Islanders. They get the last playoff team to come in. So listen, by the way, Boston has to win tonight. If they lose and Florida wins, then Florida gets the division. And Florida plays Tampa in the first round. And Boston would play Toronto. So right now it would be Boston playing Tampa in the first round.
Who do all our Leafs hating listeners want to see the Leafs play if we did a poll out there?
Want Boston for sure.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think Toronto can beat Boston, but I don't think they can beat Florida.
I would love to see a Boston. Because you know what it's like? It reminds me of the Leafs since early 2000s when they just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it got in the heads. I remember, like I said to Ian Mendes and I, we always joke about this. We're like, I think it's game 6 in Toronto. We're like, if you win tonight, you get to exercise the demons or whatever. He's like, demons? What demons? Well, the ones a few hours later that exercised their right and beat you again. That's what happened. I would love to see a Boston Toronto series because I think they would roll over them. I don't like Toronto defensively. I never have, and until they fix that, I don't get excited about Toronto.
I think
they're a very good hockey team, Yorkie. I'm not saying
Toronto.
That. Yeah, I just think defensively that's where the issue is with that hockey team.
I think there's pressure on Boston because of what happened last year in the playoffs, losing in the first round like they did. I think Florida just seems to me like a much more confident, harder physically to play against. Like Florida's got some guys up front that punish you physically.
Well, on Thursday, we'll get to our cup picks. I don't think Florida is worse than Boston. I'm just saying if I'm a fan, I want to see a Boston Toronto round one. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it sets up perfectly because you get the two Florida teams playing, and Boston, Toronto. It's great. It's great theater.
This is what Gary wants. What's your pick for tonight? By the way, Boston is 9-0-1 in their last 10 at home versus Ottawa.
Yeah.
David Pastrnak is 27 career games against Ottawa, 37 points. He's got a hat trick this year, I think it is, against Ottawa. However, Anton Forsberg, which I think would get the start tonight, is 3-0-1 lifetime against the Boston Bruins.
You think he gets the last start of this? Because it was back-to-back.
Well, if they started Korpisalo last night, wouldn't you? Isn't that how it's supposed to? But
he's went back-to-back before. But Boston needs to win this game to clinch, don't they? I believe they do. So
yes.
Boston on home ice. Ottawa has not been great on the road this year. I can't see Boston laying an egg. And they've got the goaltending to back it up. So I'm going to take Boston, hoping as well that Montreal beats Detroit. And then Ottawa leapfrogs Detroit backwards, takes a backwards step and slides into that better draft. Yeah.
Arizona's I don't know if they – anyway. Can you put the standings up for a quick sec, Brett?
Yeah.
Because I think Arizona's ahead of Ottawa in the – draft.
Yeah. So Ottawa's at 7.
Yeah, Montreal can still pass them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1 point. Hey, how about Detroit coming back on Montreal?
Oh my god.
It looked like Detroit was dead, done for the year, and they come back and win it in overtime. How about Mason Raymond?
Unbelievable.
What a player. But yeah. It still won't matter though if Washington wins tonight. That's it. That's all. They got they've got that final seed.
I still want to see Sid get in.
He ain't getting in. I think Washington's going to – I think they'll take care of business tonight. They're playing Philly, and I think they'll win that game.
All right. Well, final game of the season. We will be back Thursday to, I guess, dissect the first 82 plus our playoff picks.
Yeah.
We don't we'll need have, your Stanley Cup finalists, but we'll at least have to do round one.
Yeah. Yeah. And for all you poolsters out there, we'll have some guys you want to keep your eye on and playoff picks. I'm doing my playoff pool on Friday. We do a snake draft, Wally. 10 players, 14 guys. You take 10 players in a snake draft. So basically, I'm going to have to identify Thursday night, which I always try and load up on a couple teams who I think are going to make it to the finals.
Okay.
That's going to be tough this year. A lot of teams. A lot of teams are in the mix.
Especially out west.
Yeah, 100%.
So, all right. We will see you Thursday morning, 9 a.m. I'll tell Yorkie 17 times between now and Thursday morning.
You got it. See everybody.
See you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.